Well, this is the Christmas season, but I'm not going to speak on Christmas. I have no objection to speaking on Christmas, but I haven't been so led. I would say one thing. You remember that just before Christmas we have Hanukkah. And in the Gospel of John, they were celebrating Hanukkah, and our Lord was there. He didn't celebrate Hanukkah. He told them that they need to be born of the Spirit. He gave them the truth. And I suggest that for Christmas, we don't have to necessarily join what others do, but take advantage of the season to tell them the truth. Mark chapter 9, please. Mark chapter 9. Verses 2 and 3. Mark 9, verse 2. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. Note that word, please. He was transfigured before them. His raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller or dyer on earth can whiten it. He was transfigured. The word transfigured means the act of changing the outward appearance from within to a new outward appearance. And that is what the Lord did. His inner person, his deity, as we shall see, shone through his humanity. So first, let us look and see. I don't have to be careful when I say it, but when I say it, many may shudder. The Lord was human. And when we speak of incarnation, he became flesh. He was a human being. Now, don't get upset. I'm not going to give you any false doctrine. But he was a human being. Let's see about that. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 2. How human was he? And as usual, we'll be turning to a lot of scriptures. Anytime you don't want to turn to a lot of scriptures, don't ask me to speak. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 2. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ now. Matthew 4. Verse 2. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. If you fasted 40 days and 40 nights, would you be hungry? Well, fine. So in that respect, he was human. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. You may start at verse 35. The same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had taken away the multitude, had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. There was a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Was he human? He was hungry. He slept. And in Isaiah 52, we know that well, but we better turn to it. Isaiah 53, pardon me, verse 2. He was hungry. He slept. In John 4, he was thirsty, so that he was
human. Verse 2 of Isaiah 53, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He wasn't a handsome fellow, like Absalom, and like King Saul. Just an ordinary man, so ordinary, he said, he's the carpenter's son. So that in many respects, the Lord was human. Now I'm going to say something. Don't get upset. Hear me through to the end. The Lord was as much a man as I am. And I know that that's a little strange, isn't it? He was as much a man as I am. But, and this is the part you like, he was not such a man as I am. Feel better now? I should say so. Let's see in what sense he was different from me and from all of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. The Lord Jesus Christ knew no sin. 1 Peter chapter 2. Can't say that about me. And we can't say that about anyone else that is here. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 22, who did no sin. Isn't that nice? Had no sin and did no sin. 1 John chapter 3, and verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin. Nope. In him, no sin is. He was tired. He was thirsty. He was hungry. As we all are. In that respect, he was a man just as we are. But then he differed in this respect. He knew no sin, he did no sin, and he had no sin. And how do we explain that? He was divine. John 10 and 30, please. John chapter 10 and verse 30. I and my Father are one. What is he claiming there? Deity. Thank you. Claimed deity. John 14 and verse 9. John 14 and verse 9. Verse 8 first. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He was God. And that's why we can say I was a man, or he was a man, as I am a man. But he was not such a man as I am. He knew no sin, had no sin, and did no sin. And when he was transfigured, that inner deity showed out through his human form. Now the question is, can that happen today? Well, it's supposed to happen today, and that's our subject. As we shall see in Romans chapter 12. Don't turn there yet, please. Oh, we might turn there. Yes, Romans chapter 12. Is it possible that what happened to the Lord, he was transfigured, that we are to be transfigured? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Just a little comment on that. The pig said to the cow, I don't know why people make such a fuss over you. All you do is give milk, and I give my tail, and I give my ears, and I give my ribs, and I give my feet, and I give my snout. I give more than you give, yet they don't think much of me. And the cow shook her head, and then she said, you know, you give when you're dead. I give while I'm alive. A living sacrifice is what God wants from us. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed. Look it up when you go home. It's the same word that we read in the Gospel of Mark. Transfigured. The Lord expects us to be transfigured. How then can we be transfigured? John chapter 1. Oh, first John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do those miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, well, verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Shall he enter again the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, that wouldn't do any good. If he's going to come out the second time the way he came out the first time, he'd still be a sinner. So that's not the point. Jesus answered, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. And just a little aside here. There was a preacher. Did a lot of preaching, but he only preached from one text. You must be born again. And somebody came up to him and said, why is it you always preach from just one text? You must be born again. He said, I preach from that one text, you must be born again because you must be born again. And that was his text. But that's an interesting expression, born again. Now check it when you go home. That again means born anew, of a new character, of a new, what shall I say? Not of this present way that we were born, of a higher. And another translation is, you must be born from above. A divine birth. A new birth. Of a different character from the first birth. Pardon?
Spiritual birth.
Thank you. Spiritual birth. Well, that's the next topic. How is one born again? How can one be born again? You don't enter the mother's womb and be born again. Or be born over, I should say. You'd be the same sinner that you were the first time. How then is one born again? John chapter 1. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
As many as received him, to them gave he authority to become children of God, even to them that believed on his name, verse 13, which were born, not of blood. It's not genetic. A lot of work is being done with the genes. They're doing all sorts of things with the genes. Some of the things they're doing are very queer. Let them do whatever they will with the genes. This book says you can't be born again genetically. It's not of the flesh. In other words, you can try as hard as you want. You cannot be born by any effort on your part. Nor of the will of man. No human being can give us the new birth. Psalm 49 tells us, no man can redeem his brother. The new birth must be of God. And we know how that is as you read in the Gospel of John. But let's look at this new birth a little bit. It's an interesting birth, and sometimes I fear we don't realize, in many instances we don't realize what we have in the Lord. And that's sometimes why we go around so sad and depressed. We don't realize what we have. But let's look at the new birth. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Born of God. Not genetic. Not too far from here, they have a building. And it's devoted to the study of the genomes. Well, they can study all they want. They'll never have a born again man. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things are become new. And every time I read this verse, I think of a dear brother now with the Lord. He was a tall fellow, he must have been about 6'4" or 6'5". And he expressed this verse this way. Is passed from death unto life. All things are past. And he said, when you go to school and you're in the second grade, you take the final exam and you're promoted, you have passed, and you go to the third. You don't come back to the second. And when God saves you and you've passed, you don't go back to the old life. And we need to be very careful of that. Let's take 1 Peter 1 and 23. 1 Peter 1 and 23. About this new birth that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1 and 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. That's nice. Can't die. It's not corruptible. But incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Born from above, a new creation. And I like 1 John 3 and 9. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. The new birth, the nature of the new birth. Whosoever is born of God doth not practice sin. How do you like that verse, beloved? Have you reached sinless perfection? May I see the hands of all that have reached sinless perfection? Yet this verse says that if you're born of God, you don't sin. How do we explain that? For his seed, whose seed?
God's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. The new nature cannot sin.
The question arises, do believers sin? Yes.
Well then, how is it the new nature cannot sin, and yet believers sin?
Because we have the old nature. That's the fellow that does the sinning. That's the fellow that gives so much trouble. And I'll tell you what the old nature is like. Being a little older, no, not a little, much older than most of you.
Do you know the old nature is like Jack in the Box? Do they have Jack in the Boxes anymore?
I guess that's old fashioned. They don't have it anymore. But this was a little fellow in a box, and every once in a while he'd jump out when you weren't expecting. And that's just the way the old nature is. No matter how old you grow, and that Jack in the Box is just waiting to jump out and commit sin. But the new nature cannot sin. And when we read that we are to be transformed or transfigured, it means that the new nature is to come out and be seen as it was in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, is this possible? Is it possible that that new nature can actually come to the fore and be seen? I have here three examples. I won't give you all three. But there is a sister now with the Lord. And I declare to you that if she were to come into that door and you saw her, you would jump and shudder. With all due respect, nice, godly woman, she was plain ugly. And so ugly, if you saw her, she would frighten you. Right here in Baltimore, the saints decided to put up a tent for the summer and to have gospel meetings. And this brother told me this himself. He is now with the Lord. He told me this himself, Bill Strickland. His house was here, and the tent wasn't too far away. And he saw old Mrs. Lawrence coming, a package of tracts in one hand and her cane in the other, literally hobbling along. Bill Strickland said to himself, I'm going to have some fun with that old lady. And the old lady came, hobbled up the steps. There he was sitting on his front porch. Now notice how she addressed him. Young man, you are too fine a looking man to die and go to hell. What an introduction. An hour later, he was on his front porch on his knees asking the Lord to save him. The beauty of the Lord came through all of that. And she was able to lead him to the Lord, transfigured. And we, too, need to allow that inner new man, that seed of God, to come forward and to come through. How do you do it? We read there in Romans chapter 12, by the renewal of your minds. Putting your mind on something new. Not pertaining to this earth. The renewal of your mind. Colossians, please. Chapter 3. Renewal of your mind. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Now my Bible and most of the older versions says if. Now if has two meanings. It can mean a supposition and it can mean a statement of fact. Since. Here it means a statement of fact. Since. Then you are risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And it is as we seek, but where are you going to find the things which are above? Where are you going to find the truth about things which are above? Luke chapter 24. Seek the things which are above, but I assure you that much goes on that appears on the TV isn't from above. The more I listen to the news and so forth, the more I'm convinced that actually the world leaders don't know what they're doing. They're confused. You listen to one authority and he says something, you listen to another authority on the same subject and he has something else to say. And as Brother George and I were speaking, coming, 1 Timothy chapter 2, we need to pray for the rulers that be. They need our prayers. But now we are to set our minds on things above. Luke 24. Verse 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And when you read the Bible and you don't see the Lord Jesus Christ, you've missed the point. This book is about him. I remember years ago when I did a little prison ministry, I asked the audience of fellows there, who is the Bible about? Us sinners, bad people. No. It's about us, but the chief character is Jesus Christ himself. Seek the things which are above, you got to go to the Word. And then in verse 44, he said unto them, those are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and the psalm concerning me. The Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we want to be transfigured and transformed, we've got to get our eyes on him. You remember what happened to Moses? Up in the mount with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and when he came down, his face shined so that he had to cover his face. And as we are meditating on the Lord, in this book, it's amazing what he will do and how we will be transformed and transfigured. Psalm number 1, please. Psalm number 1. How to renew our minds. Set your minds on things above. Concentrate on things above. Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scorners. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Beloved, do you like the law of the Lord? Do you like the Bible? Do you like to sit and study it? And remember, the Bible is not to be read hit and miss. It's to be read carefully. If you read hit and miss, you're going to miss more than you hit. Have you heard of the man that wanted a word from the Lord and he opened the Bible and put his finger down and the word says, Judas went and hung himself. You know, I'm sure the Lord doesn't want me to do that. And he turned again. That which thou doest, do it quickly. Hit and miss. We've got to take the word of the Lord, sit and read and study. I'm going to give you some advice that was given me when I went to study pathology. My instructor said to me, Garnes, you have to learn to sit and look through that microscope even if you get corns. Just stay there. That's the way you're going to learn the Bible. You have to stay and give attention to the Word. And it's amazing. What do you think is going to happen? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18. Now we have just seen that if you want to see the Lord, you have to study the book. And don't speed read the Bible. You can speed read if you wish Time Magazine and Newsweek, New York Times, Washington Post. Speed read as much as you want. But when it comes to this book, no speed reading. You sit and read gently and quietly. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. That's how you get to resemble the Lord and therefore can show out through our physical frames the beauty of the Lord. And it can be done. I think of a lady. She was my mother's best friend. Aunt Jean. I used to like to go to her house. She always had little candies and little cakes. And she always told us nice little Bible stories. And she would sing for us. So when my mother said, go to Aunt Jean, I never objected. Now, I noticed one thing about Aunt Jean, but I didn't recognize it. Her hands were all gnarled, the fingers twisted and so forth. She had a severe form of arthritis. Painful. You know, I never saw her when she wasn't smiling. The beauty of the Lord was coming through. I think of another sister. Both legs amputated above the knee. And she was quite a witness in the hospital. Now, one of the sisters in the meeting was a nurse in the operating room and came to visit Mrs. Beckles and left. And then the charge nurse came to me when I came on the ward. She said, Mrs. Beckles is going psycho. She's got to go to Bellevue Hospital. I said, what happened? Well, she said that Mrs. Roach was her sister and that you were her brother. I said, no, she's perfectly safe. You don't understand. Nothing wrong with her mind. What's wrong with your mind? Both legs amputated, and there she is telling the people the gospel. That inner person, that new person, was coming to the front. Oh, I have a couple more that we could talk about. But I've told enough that the inner person, that new nature, is to come through the human frame, as it did with the Lord Jesus Christ, meditating upon the Word of God. The story is told that this happened in the Orient. In a certain part of the Orient, I don't know just where now, I don't recall, in the center of the city was the square. And at the square, there was a statue of one of their leaders. And this man would come every day and look at the statue. Sometimes he would sit for hours looking at the statue. And after about 10 years, you couldn't tell the difference between him and the statue. And if we are looking on the Lord, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. I don't like to boast. I've told you this before. But a patient came to me. She was referred by her son. And after the usual examination, you know, all that you go through, as she was leaving, she said, "Doctor, I'd like to ask you something. Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes." She said, "I thought so." "Oh, that's the greatest compliment I've ever received down here. Taking care of a patient, and she could tell that I was a believer." What did they think of you at work? You don't have to tell them. Just they'll find out if we reflect and outflow that beauty from the inner man. Again, we were out in California at the Yosemite conference given in August. And someone asked the brother in charge, "How do we identify ourselves? Shall we have name tickets? Or, how are people going to know who we are?" You know what the brother said? He said, "If you want, you can take your Bible and walk around and hold it up. But I suggest that you just be a Christian. That's all. Let the beauty come out." We were seated one day at lunchtime. My wife and I, we knew none of the people there. By the way, if you've never been there, please go. It's one of the most beautiful places in the country. As far as I'm concerned, one of the most beautiful places in the world. There we were sitting at lunch. And I gave thanks. A lady came over and said, "I noticed you gave thanks for your food. Are you with the group that's having the conference?" If we live it, they'll see. And they will know. We are to be transfigured. Let the inner man show through to the world and to all around. I'm just about finished. This hymn is not in our hymn book. "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wonderful passion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine to the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." Story is told of a little boy. Mother was a Christian. Dad had died. And one day he saw a man coming down the street. Now, she had no pictures in her home. You know how they have pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ? She had no pictures. This little boy saw this man and said, ran in, "Mommy, Mommy, Jesus is down the street." Oh, my. Isn't that something? The man, well, we don't know how the Lord Jesus Christ looked. But he was a child of God. And if we live and meditate on the Lord and his word, we will exude the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we sing in closing, please? 421. I've never heard us sing it, but all you have to do is read the notes. It'll come. "Fill all my vision." 421.